everyone. Welcome back to Sit Still, Look Opinionated. I'm your host, Claire Malky. That spaghetti sauce stain that won't wash out of your t-shirts no matter how many times you try. Persistent. So apparently some people had a three-day weekend this past week, which is totally great. I loved extra days off. But it was because of Colonizer's Day. I mean, Columbus Day. It's no surprise that over the last few years, Columbus has been definitely canceled. But now, the second Monday in October is more commonly known as Indigenous Peoples Day. It's a day that's meant to recognize the whitewashing of American history, because it's often glossed over that Columbus was violent towards Native people. It's so crazy when I think about Columbus Day, because honestly, one of my first memories in school is learning about the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and that little rhyme, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Like, that's quite literally one of the first things I ever learned. And I always kind of wondered why there was a Columbus Day. So, you know, I put on my thinking cap and did a little research. Season one over here, basically. And it turns out that the holiday of Columbus Day was actually formed in the 1930s as a way to appreciate the mistreatment of Italian Americans in the late 1800s. Which, like, sure, okay, that's really cool. But, like, why didn't they just call it Italian Heritage Day? Did they really need to glorify Columbus? I can think of so many better ways to honor Italians. First of all, National Cannoli Day. Cannolis are so delicious. They are such an underrated dessert. And honestly, if any listeners want to send me a cannoli, I would absolutely love that. We could also celebrate Italians through National Spaghetti Day, where we just eat pasta for every meal, aka the best day ever. Or the best way we could celebrate Italians, National Mario Kart Day, where everyone dresses up in their best Mario or Luigi costume, and then we have real live Mario Kart. Doesn't that sound great? Anyway, regardless, it's 2021, and like, do we really need to celebrate Italians? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not hating on Italians, I am one, but seriously, like, in today's world, if you say you're Italian, that means you're white. Or if you're Andrew Cuomo, it means you're a pedophile. But back to the important subject at hand. In 1977, Native leaders proposed the idea for Indigenous Peoples Day at a United Nations conference that was held to address racism towards Native people. Then, in 1989, South Dakota became the first state to officially replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. And then something really cool happened that actually this year, President Biden became the first sitting president to proclaim the formal adoption of Indigenous Peoples Day. And this is a really big step because it recognizes the significance and the existence of Native culture. And even though this was, you know, super great and official and all these things like that, obviously there's still room for improvement, especially because the federal government still recognizes the second Monday in October as Columbus Day. So, you know, there's ways to grow. Even though when you're listening to this episode, the official Indigenous Peoples Day will have passed, you can still honor the Native people of North America. So something that's really cool is there's this app called Native, and they have a website called native-land.ca. And this is an app that it's sort of similar to like Google Maps, I would say, but you put in your location and it tells you what Native land you live on. So if you've listened all the way through to the end of the podcast, I'm sure you have, and you'll notice that we say, this podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. The Native app is how we found out which nation's land we are on. But there's obviously a ton more ways to support Indigenous people. You know, a few things you can do. You could follow Native creators on social media and, you know, support them in that way. And you can buy artwork and crafts of Native artists. And you can also read literature by Native writers. Basically, all in all, what I'm trying to say is that there's just not one right way to celebrate and honor the various Indigenous peoples of the Americas. And additionally, like, not all Native Americans are the same. So just make sure you're not grouping them all together. Like, they obviously have different cultures and, you know, every person is different. So they're not just one big sweeping group. But maybe after today, after you listen to the podcast, take a look online, look at the Native app, and see what Native land you live on. And then maybe, you know, do some research into those First Nations and what their culture is like, and just sort of appreciate them for all that they have to offer. And who knows, you might find something unexpected. We have got a fantastic show for you all today. We have Jax Barker from the podcast Pop of Passion with us in the studio today. This interview was so much fun. I really enjoyed talking to Jax, and I know that you all are going to love it just as much as I did. Today, I am drinking way too much coffee and definitely not enough water. I am 100% dehydrated. So grab whatever drink you would like, and let's get started.
I'm Claude Monet, here to introduce my new art workshop, Accurate Impressions. As a proud sponsor of Sit Still Look Opinionated, I'll be the new Starbucks of art fashion like my nemesis, Warby Parker. Psych! Accurate Impressions is online only. Fact is, the soft focus that brought me fame as a painter was a fluke. I never wanted to be an impressionist. I thought the canvases that made me rich were photorealistic, and it was already too late when I realized my paintings were blurry and fucked up. That's why I'm back, to save the world from artists who don't know their vision is trash and who could have done something useful for their world had easy money not seduced them. Also, Warby Parker's a cult, so get out. There, saved you too. Accurate Impressions has frames to fit any face and budget, with lenses that will show haystacks in a field in brilliant detail, not like my poor fuzzy paintings. If Warby Parker's not careful, Accurate Impressions will leave them under a footbridge in a lily pond to sleep with the fishes of Giverny. And we ship any rivals the same way we ship our glasses, for free. This has been Claude Monet, and don't get it twisted, I'm no killer, but I die for Accurate Impressions.
Up next, this week's headlines. Out of the wealthiest countries in the world, the U.S. has the lowest level of financial support for infants and toddlers. Unless they run for president. One year after defunding the police, many police departments got their money back. You know, because of mail-in rebate. Parents are taking sneakiness to a whole new level by putting carbon monoxide monitors into children's backpacks to check on schools' ventilation. Which is good news for kids' health, but bad news for kids' internet searches. A coach reprimanded a student for breaking the state record, saying soccer isn't about winning the most points. Dude, come on, it's a sport, not the presidential election. A hot tub party bus has been shut down for not having a pool permit. At least this time, it wasn't because of a party pooper. The UK police say they will not take action against Prince Andrew for sexual abuse allegations. I guess when you're royal and in trouble, it's best to keep calm and carry on with the assassination plot against Jeffrey Epstein. A couple was arrested for selling nuclear submarine secrets, which they smuggled using peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The FBI said that being spies was not that couple's jam. First rule of being a spy, keep the secrets in your ass. In DC's new Superman comic, Superman's son comes out as gay. He'll do battle with Lex Luthor's evil daughter, Nimby Turf. Astronomers have found a distant planet orbiting three stars. That planet must be confused. like me during lunch in a food court. An elk in Colorado had a car tire removed from its neck after it was there for 2 years.
But the guarantee on the tire was 3 years or 30,000 miles, said a moose in Wyoming.
While promoting environmentally friendly solutions to climate change, Prince Charles told reporters that his Aston Martin runs on wine and cheese. Have you bought wine and cheese lately? Yeah, I think I'll just stick to oil. This week, many air travelers were angered by the number of flights canceled by Southwest. Southwest blamed Delta. Fur coats given to the ex-president by billionaire Saudi Arabian leaders turned out to be fake. No one must have noticed, as they matched everything about Trump perfectly. Apparently, Kim Jong-un considers acts of terrorism a political gift, like a pair of socks or a light-up necktie. Dr. Ricardo Cruciani, neurologist, was allowed to continue working even after multiple sexual abuse allegations. The next Republican president will seek a nomination for Cruciani as a Supreme Court justice. And that was this week's headlines.
Pablo Picasso of Pablo Picasso Psychedelics, the newest sponsor of Sit Still, Look Opinionated. And yes, a child could have done many of my paintings. Our latest Schedule 1 psychedelic is P-Cubed. Take it, and you won't need a lifetime of perfecting your art, like Picasso, and failures as a partner and father, like Picasso, for your ego to become so overwhelmed that you see and paint the world in cubes and funny shapes. Yes, I really phoned it in later in my career. Take P-Cube and sit still to watch your opinions dissolve into the fabric of time and space until the world takes its true form. Pure chaos engulfed in the enormity of humankind's struggle against its obvious insignificance. Yes, just like your condo building's HOA. P-Cubed is not Van Gogh's Countryside Ergot or Dalí's LSD. P-Cube is a patented blend of DMT and psilocybin that will set you on a path of self-induced isolation, where you sacrifice everything for your art, family, sex, yes, even social media. Not an artist? Maybe you can become a shaman for your HOA. Warning! Side effects include throwing yourself into lust-filled pursuits such as writing, painting, or turning your HOA meetings into flesh-consumed orgies. P-Cubed by Pablo Picasso Psychedelics. Because demolishing your accepted reality is as easy as taking drugs.
Hey there, neighbor. It's me, Pete Buttigieg. The human version of the bicycle you always wanted for Christmas. When I'm not cutting ribbons or kissing babies' foreheads, I'm the Secretary of Transportation. And I'm not at all bitter that I didn't win the presidency. To prove I'm not jaded, President Biden asked me to introduce you, the American people, to the bipartisan infrastructure plan. As the youngest Harvard grad in the cabinet, I'm known to have the brightest ideas. After all, I did invent casual Fridays. That's why I'm proud to introduce my addition to the infrastructure plan, the Buttigieg Build Back Better with Legos, or the 4BLG. Through the 4BLG, Americans can glaze over all things wrong with this country, like the lack of accessible Chuck E. Cheese's, and focus on the endless possibilities. Sure, poor city planning caused a few bus delays, but with the 4BLG, you can build the bus of your dreams and experience the bliss of escapism. Within the next 7 to 12 weeks, every apple pie-loving American will receive a miniature 2-scale replica of a famous piece of infrastructure from your community. And yes, the directions will be extremely complicated. For example, if you live in Chicago, you may receive an exact replica of the Thorndale CTA stop. Because accidentally stepping on Legos is the equivalent of walking across thorns. And don't worry about paying for these shiny new Lego sets. Although these Legos do cost more than the actual infrastructure plan, the 4BLG Legos are all paid for by your hard-earned and federally mandated tax dollars. That's all from me, Pete Buttigieg. Enjoy building some good golly Legos. Never mind the fact your neighborhood still doesn't have broadband internet. If any of you patriotic Americans need me, I'll be training with the latest municipal mapping technology, SimCity. Bye-bye now.
Hello, I'm Vincent van Gogh. You might know me from the immersive Van Gogh experience that's making profiteering vultures a ton of money. And as Sit Still Look Opinionated's newest sponsor, I'd like to introduce to you Van Gogh's ear cream. Historians can't decide if I cut off my left ear or if Paul Gauguin did with his sword. Truth is, my brother Theo made up those stories to sell our paintings. This was before slick online marketers could trick you into overpaying for a 20-minute PowerPoint presentation of my paintings curated without context. So, how'd I lose my ear? I scratched the motherfucker off. In 1888, if an itch didn't go away, a limb did. Not my rule. Now I'm back from the dead to also profit off my name and bring you Van Gogh's ear cream. Formulated with a scratch-proof blend of herbs, essential oils, and mercury-laced paint. Know what else is maddening? It's the soundtrack immersive Van Gogh chose. No thematic continuity. Don't get caught with an itch that a scratch won't fix. And use Van Gogh's ear cream, a proud sponsor of Sit Still Look Opinionated. And coming soon, Van Gogh's chest rub. Great for nasal congestion and self-inflicted, or not, gunshot wounds to the chest. Oh, and someone tell the clowns at Immersive Van Gogh that Vinny's coming for his slice of the gift shop or he'll be adding ears to his collection. The juice is running.
Great news, everyone! We have new staff writers this season. We were able to hire them through your support from Patreon. To keep our writers on our team, please consider subscribing to our Patreon. Thanks so much to our patrons Sam, Laura, Andy, Christina, Anthony, and Anna. Hope to add your name next week. For more information, find us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. Next, my interview with Jack Sparker from Pop of Passion. For today's interview, we have Jack Sparker from Pop of Passion podcast. Jax, welcome to Sit Still Look Opinionated.
Hi, Claire. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you today. I'm so excited to hear about your comedy and hear about your podcast. To get us started, could you give us a little bit of background about who you are?
Yes. So I started doing improv in Chicago when I moved home after college. My mom said that I needed to sort of get a hobby. So I took a class at Second City. And on like the third week, I saw TJ and Dave at IO and I was hooked. So from there, I sort of pivoted to storytelling and then stand up. And then I was like, I should have my own storytelling show. And now I've pivoted to podcasts. So it's a lot of pivoting. You know,
yes.
It's like that episode of Friends.
Pivot.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw TJ and Dave at The Annoyance recently, and they are incredible.
It's like unreal what they do.
Their object work is quite literally some of the best I have ever seen in my whole life.
Absolutely. I don't, like, that's the thing I'm worst at in improv. So I'm so impressed by their object work. The fact that they don't even, like, take a suggestion. They just go. It's really a testament to their talent and also their, like, relationship.
Yeah, the fact that they don't even get a suggestion and they can, just the two of them, out of whatever they have, you know, gotten into the zone, they can just, like, tap into that. It's so phenomenal. So, listeners, if you ever get a chance to see TJ and Dave, highly recommend.
Absolutely.
So you saw TJ and Dave, you really got into improv. Is that sort of how you, quote unquote, discovered comedy, or had you known about it since you were a child?
Well, growing up in Chicago, Second City was always sort of a big deal because there were so many Second City and IOL alum on SNL, and that was like the peak of comedy to me growing up in the 90s. But personally, I feel like I discovered comedy when I was working as a child actor. I did a pilot at this like house in Winnetka. We were running around chasing the little puppy who was chasing our neighbor. And before, like, the scene was over, but no one had called cut. And I did like an improv line. I said, "Are you okay, Mr. Brown?" And everyone laughed. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the moment that's like defined my life. I feel like I've been chasing that laugh, that first real big laugh from a whole room ever since. And that was like almost 25 years ago. So that's sort of when I discovered comedy on a personal level.
Yeah. When you do get that big laugh, it really is nothing like it, especially if you're not expecting it and you're like, oh my gosh, I can have this effect on people. That feeling is incredible. What was it like being a child actor?
You know, I liked it. My parents weren't stage parents at all. I really forced their hand and was like, we were watching the Bulls when I was like 2.5. My mom was pregnant with my brother and they were playing, basketball as the Bulls do. And I pointed at the TV and I said, I want to be on TV like him. And I pointed at Michael Jordan. And then right around my 5th birthday, I was casting a commercial with Michael Jordan. So that was a great experience. I also had, you know, some negative experiences. There's so many movies that I wish I could like, but I'm really bitter about them because I didn't get cast.
Like which movies?
You know, so I got pretty far in the movie I Am Sam with Sean Penn and Dakota Fanning. That was that was really the roughest one. But like A Series of Unfortunate Events, Cheaper by the Dozen, and School of Rock's the only one that I'm like, it's okay because it was perfectly cast.
Amazing.
But the rest of them, I'm pretty bitter still. Yeah.
I can, I was not a child actor, but I totally know that feeling where you're like, oh, I got so close to the callbacks and then it's like not there, but definitely different.
Totally. Yeah. It was a weird way to grow up, but I wouldn't change it for anything. You know what I mean? That's what my experience was.
Well, that's amazing that you had a great experience. That's like so lovely to hear. So then when you you did the child actor thing and you were in Chicago and doing comedy. So what, you said you started doing storytelling. Can you talk a little bit about that transition and then transitioning into podcasting?
Totally. I was taking classes. I had done Second City IO and then I went to my favorite theater, CIC. And we were, after class, we all went to the long room and everyone was talking about how I should be doing stand-up and not improv. And I really took that as the opposite of a compliment. I was like, no, we're on a team. We're hanging out. We're doing shows together. And they were all like, no, you should do something else. It kind of was like grade school. But I realized now it was great advice. Unfortunately, I shared the advice with the person I was dating at the time who growing up wanting to be a stand-up more than anything. And that person kind of told me not to do it in like a very mean way. But I figured it wouldn't be rude or cheating. Can you tell like I'm super codependent? I felt like it would be acceptable for me to do storytelling, because that's like a step away from stand up. It's still a solo performance and you can still be funny. So I was like, that was kind of me like, you know, not cheating, but sort of being like, well, I'll like, you know, honor this, your bullshit, but also I'm going to do something for myself. So that's how I got into storytelling. And I took a class with Ada Chang at IO, and she like changed my life. She was such an amazing teacher and really like cultivated such a great classroom experience, and also introduced everyone in the class to the storytelling scene, asked us to do shows. So we got performance opportunities right away. And I just like, I'm so grateful to her, because if I hadn't done storytelling first, I might not be as comfortable solo on stage and stand up now. It was a great way to get into it, because you can have a piece of paper, you know, you can look down. It's like, it's less rigid. So I think it was a good way for me to get into stand up in a way.
That is so funny how you always think back and you're like, oh, well, maybe I should have just, you know, jumped right into stand up. But if you'd done that, then yeah, you wouldn't have had that wonderful class experience. And something about Chicago, like the classes in Chicago are just amazing. Like, I have taken so many lovely classes and I've met so many amazing people. So definitely, I'm very for taking a class if you're interested in something.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to meet people. Also, like, you learn a skill or like cultivate a hobby and you get to meet people. When you said that now, I'm just realizing if I had gone straight to stand up, I wouldn't have the podcast.
Really?
Because Pop started as a storytelling show. And then I pivoted to podcast during COVID, and it's like, I wouldn't have posted a storytelling show if I was doing stand up. You know what I mean? So that's like blowing my mind.
That's amazing. That's amazing to kind of have that realization in real time here on Sit Still Look Opinionated.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Wow.
Of course. All about that connection and, you know, retracing our steps.
Totally.
So you now have this podcast called Pop of Passion that started as your storytelling show. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like doing the live show, and then also how it's been, you know, transitioning into podcasting with the pandemic?
Totally. So I was working on a storytelling show that was for another producer, and I was just having trouble with the theme, because the themes, they act like they aren't rigid, but people talk about it after the show if they aren't on theme. So I was just having trouble, and I was thinking, like, what's the story I would love to tell? And I thought, like, I would love to talk about my passion, because people are, they're most interesting when they're talking about what they love and, like, captivating. So I was sitting at this place called Beer on the Wall in my hometown of Park Ridge, and I said, you know what? I could do a storytelling show. I could host it. I could produce it. And I've been working on trying to have, like, the confidence of, like, a mediocre white man. And it really just all came together. So I asked CIC if I could host it there on Sundays. About 2 weeks later, I had the first show, and it was really fun, just like booking my friends for the first show and then opening it up to people in the storytelling community, and then also people who have never done storytelling before. So it was a great experience to learn about people's passions, like people you know and people you don't, because that's how you bond. You know, that's the whole premise of the show. Like, I guess in the trailer I say, if you relish the memory of a late night conversation with a stranger about their obscure passion, the kind where you have tears in your eyes 1 second and are doubled over laughing the next, this is the podcast for you. I practice that a lot. and I write it in emails too. So that's sort of the premise of the show. And it was going really well. And I had booked through June, and we did the March show in 2020. And then April got canceled, you know, May, June, and I'd already had people like in mind for July. It was like all this planning just like went down the drain. And the pandemic was hard for so many reasons, but I'm not a Zoom performer personally. Like, I've tried to do stuff on Zoom live shows, and it's just not my vibe. So I was at Trader Joe's, and one of my good friends who I used to work with there was asking me about how I post my podcast, because he was about to start a podcast. And I was like, I don't have a podcast. I didn't know what he was talking about. And then literally 2 days later, my brother said, you know, you should really turn Pop into a podcast because you love podcasts. You have, you know, an idea. So why not do it? And within a month, I had like 5 episodes recorded. I was working at the Lincoln Lodge. It was just like amazing how it fell into place. It was one of those like written in the stars moments.
Yeah. That is so funny that your coworker or your friend was like, oh, what about how your podcast? And you're like, I don't have a podcast. That's like totally a sign.
Right? It was amazing. And I actually had him on the podcast over the summer, and we talked about it, and he didn't even remember that. And I was like, you're the reason we're here, you know?
Yeah. And that is so heartbreaking that you had you had shows from March scheduled out until June. Like, that is so much planning, like from, you know, being a entrepreneur to another. That's a lot of work. So I totally feel for you there.
Yeah, it was almost like I was being punished for being prepared. I don't know. Yeah. No, I just made COVID all about me. I didn't mean to do that.
I feel like we were all when we were in our homes, like being like, you know what? This is personally the worst ever for me. I have it the worst. I'm an actor in my other life, and I had booked a tour with a children's theater company, and I'd been like working with this company for like I had understudied for them in 2018, and so I'd been kind of like going back and forth with them about when the best time would be for me to go on tour. And so I had finally booked my tour for 2021 and or for 2020, and then, you know, they canceled the spring tour, and I was like, there's not going to be a summer tour. So yeah, we all had those moments.
Totally. That, yeah. Well, you never know what that could lead to. I'm sure, you know, if one door closes, a window opens, or whatever they say.
It's so true. What you were saying about the podcast, like, I don't know if my podcast would be where it is if that hadn't happened, because then that summer I was like, you know, head first into the podcasting world.
Totally. It's amazing how like little things are why we're sitting here. Not that COVID's a little thing, but like, you know, the conversations we have, and I had Mike on a live show for Pop, and now we've connected. It's just amazing how things come together.
Yeah. And just that seeking community. And I do remember when I saw the show, Mike had this joke about hurricanes. This is totally Mike's joke, but something about hurricanes in Florida. And then he was like, yeah, hurricanes, the restaurant. And I just was like, that is such a Mike joke to make.
I remember that moment too. That was such a good line. Like, oh yeah, he was great.
Yeah. He's awesome to work with. So what has been your favorite part about doing Pop of Passion, the live show or the podcast?
I honestly love hearing people talk just about what they love. It's always been something that I find super captivating. And I went to a new doctor recently, and I was talking about the podcast because it was a psychiatrist. And I was saying, oh yeah, it's about people's passion. He was like, well, what's your passion? And I was like, talking to other people about their passion and making connections. Because like, you do learn something, and you can always relate. You know what I mean? Even if it's someone talking about their love of, I don't know, the Bears, I could relate that to my dad loves the Bears. And, you know, all these things, there's always a connection to be made. My great grandfather always said, like, you are never alone, and you can never get lost as long as you have a tongue in your head. So I think when people talk, great things happen.
I love that phrase. That's so beautiful.
Those Irish guys have a way with their words.
They really do. They always have those little things where you're like, that'll stick in my brain forever.
Right.
What has been the most challenging or, you know, hardest part about working on your podcast so far?
I would say that I've had some difficulty after recording, because I recorded 10 episodes before I even announced that the podcast was going to be a thing. I was like, I want to have a season in the can before I announce. And then I want to record a couple more, you know, to keep momentum going. And I found over the summer, because I recorded a lot in April and May, and like two in June. Mm-hmm. And I found that when I would be posting the episodes in July, listening back to them, you know, to write the show notes and all that stuff, I would kind of be like, oh, you know, that's where I was at this point in my life. And this is where I am now. Just because I just had a rough summer, you know, summer's hard. I don't like the heat. I've my thighs chafe. It's not fun. So hearing me talk to some of my heroes at such a happy point in my life is kind of sad when I was going through it, you know? Yeah. So I guess that's not really relatable to other podcasters maybe, but that's my truth.
Yeah. And I totally hear your truth. I mean, I totally feel about thighs too. I mean, yeah, it is not fun. Like, right? I don't really like shorts either. Like, I way prefer dresses. So I'm like, it's a lose-lose situation.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm wearing bike shorts right now that they are also like a shaper, but they're not soup. It's not like Spanx. They go up to like your bra line, and I wear them every day. I wear a dress because unless it's like 40 degrees, because I walk a lot, it's like I'm going to chafe and it's going to bleed and it's going to scab and it's going to be gross. How am I single? I don't get – like, how am I single right now? I don't understand.
Any listeners, you can find her at Pop of Passion on Instagram. I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally. I got to work on the oversharing. But, yeah, it's just funny to hear yourself when you're in one mood and then later hear yourself when you're in a different mood and they don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that carries over into like the listener's experience, or is that more of just your experience hearing it back and editing it?
I would really hope that it didn't affect the listener's experience. I know I did have to take a break. I took a 2-week break from posting, even though I had like 6 more episodes for the season. I just couldn't do it. I got so sad listening to one episode. That was because it was like such a moment for me that when I listened back to it and I was feeling down, it was sort of like, I don't want to listen to the next one because I don't want to feel this way again. So I think taking a break was the right choice because then I could put my all into writing the show notes and promoting the show. So I don't think the listeners could tell. Maybe they knew when I took a break, but otherwise – it was the right decision for me because I value my mental health more than my performance and my podcast, you know, because you have to.
Yeah, you really do. And if you don't center your mental health, all of those other things are going to suffer. Like it comes so across.
Totally. And it's great the way things worked out. Like I went on a trip in early August and I came home. My cat's been sick and I haven't recorded an episode of Pop of Passion since the 6th of June. So that's over June, July, August. That's over 4 months. It's going to be 5 months by the time I'm recording the first episode of season 2 on the 4th of October. And it's like, you know, amazing how I needed that break. And then when I got back, I thought I was ready to start, but my producer was out of town. And now I know I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like prepared and I'm, you know, pitching people and reaching out and all that. And it's just like, wow, I'm glad I had those extra few weeks while she was out of town for me to like come to terms with like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because there were moments over the summer that I was like, oh, it was a one and done. That was fun. But coming out of, you know, my mini mental health crisis, I was sort of like, no, that's what brought me joy. So I have to get back into it. And I felt up for it too. It's important not just to force yourself to do things to make you happy, but you have to be up for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing better. And I'm really glad that we've had the opportunity to chat today.
Thank you.
If there is anything that you've learned from your podcast or something that's inspired you, what would that thing be?
I feel really inspired by the range of passions, you know, from knowledge to talk shows to investigative journalism, like going with your gut. I think it's amazing that you can pose one question to, you know, 15 people and they come at it from so many different angles. It's like, it proves that there's so many different learning styles and like the way we process information in a single question that's like just a couple words, people take it to different levels because everyone's so individual. And I think that's what's like so beautiful about the world.
But yeah, that is so true about everyone will just take things in a different way. Like that's why in school, I always loved those like writing prompts when you're like, where it'd be like, my hero is, and then everyone has their own response. That's so true. Everyone's like their own individual.
Yeah. And I think that's so important just in general for people to be themselves. You know what I mean? Like, because we could all be sheep and some people are, but It's so important to be yourself and take things in the direction that you feel passionately about, you know, because that's what helps you feel good about yourself. And like when you achieve things, you feel better about yourself. So,
yeah.
I got real sappy. I'm sorry.
No, I loved it. I'm such a sap always, every day of my life.
Amazing.
We do have a signature question for the podcast, since we are called Sit Still, Look Opinionated. Is there anything that you are specifically opinionated about? And this can be about anything in the world.
I'm pretty opinionated about what I believe to be a fact that St. Patrick's time in Ireland as a missionary directly correlates to Irish Americans' worship of police officers and like the celebration and, you know, I don't know, like the monetization of alcoholism. And I'm not a big fan of that, but I guess I should relate it back to the podcast. You know what? I think that your passions and your opinions don't have to define you. And also you should be open to people's opinions and passions as long as they aren't hurting anyone. Like let people enjoy things. Like life is meant to be fun. And just because we live in like this, like, you know, capitalist society doesn't mean we have to work all the time. Like enjoy the stuff you enjoy. And it doesn't mean it has to be your personality, but be free to share it. That was a long answer.
No, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And
thank you.
Also, sometime off recording, I would love to hear more about your thoughts on St. Patrick, because that is very interesting to me.
I could go off. It's like, you could give me a couple like Jamesons, you know, and it's the only thing I want to talk about. So yeah, one night, you know, we'll get on a patio and we'll get it done. Yep.
Perfect. Well, Jax, thank you so much for being on Sit Still, Look Opinionated. Do you have any shows you want to plug or any like social media handles you want to share with our listeners?
I would like to plug my stand-up seminary graduation show at the Lincoln Lodge on October 26th. It's the last Tuesday in October, and it's at 8:00. It's going to be a fun time. I've already had two classes. Everyone seems super fun. I will definitely be talking about, you know, being Irish, because that's all I know how to talk about. And you can also follow Pop of Passion. The website's popofpassionpodcast.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Pop of Passion, and then also facebook.com/Pop of Passion. And I always appreciate everyone's follows. You know, if you want to rate and review, that would be amazing, but also no pressure, because like everyone has a busy life. But yeah, you can follow us on most of the stuff. We aren't on TikTok yet, but maybe season two.
Yes, we would. We will definitely share all of those. And thank you so much again for your time. This was so great.
Thank you, Claire. You were great. Thank you.
And that's all for today's episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on social media at Sit Still Podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and me, Claire Malky. and written by me, Clara Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Bosanyavichs, Gabriel Skavor, Molly Smith, and Charlie Bain. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter. And royalty-free music from Epidemic Sound. Check out our referral link in the show notes. If you would like to support this podcast, please subscribe to our newsletter at www.sitstillpodcast.com and visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye.